his wicket really cheaply there.
Even the smallest food orders delivered. Swiggy, what a delivery.
This is ESPN Crick Info.
Hello and welcome to Talking T20. We're back after a week's break, and this time we're discussing a breed of cricketers who it was expected that they had absolutely no place in the big hitting world of the T20 game.
What are you spinners? Talking about? Seriously. Oh, my mate here, the keeper, we keep feeding them. Come on, spinners are the king.
Hoggy, I was going to introduce you by saying that we have
if you're going to introduce us with that sort of rubbish, okay, that we're not involved in T20 cricket, well, we've got to get on the front foot.
I said it was expected that you had absolutely no place in the game. We have somebody who's dismissed Chris Gayle, Brendan McCullum, Virendra Sehwag, and many others, and you can count them
on. Don't forget about Sachin Tendulkar in there. I know it was only once.
Who's this?
Welcome to the show, Hoggy.
Right. Oh, sorry, I'll put you off there, haven't I?
No, you're on a backward foot. And back on the show after a few weeks, fresh from his travels across the country for the IPL, Deep Dasgupta, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Good to be back.
And as always, he's my favourite partner, too. I love a keeper beside me.
Yeah. Who can pick your wrong ones?
Yeah, well, the problem is he'd never want me bowling because I'd never give him a stat. I couldn't get it faster than that.
Right, so we have two cricketers in the house for the first time, and as always, we have our in-house data whiz, Gaurav Sundaraman. Gaurav, welcome back.
Thank you.
Right, Hoggy, let's try and start with you here. Let's try and have you talk through a typical wrist spinner's routine. You're at the top of your mark, and you have Chris Gayle up against you. Talk us through what your routine is. When do you decide what to bowl to him? Is there a scope for you to change it last minute depending on where he moves? How do you bowl to a marauding batsman in T20 cricket?
I think when you're bowling in the shorter form of the game, you're always looking for those sudden movements that the batsman makes. I do a lot of research before I go out and play, and just research what ticks with the batsman when they're sort of giving signals when they want to charge or they want to sweep, because they do give those type of signals. I remember Glenn Maxwell, for instance. He will always telegraph that he's going to reverse sweep by looking in that direction where he's going to hit the ball. Going back to Chris Gayle, you want to try and get the ball out of his hitting zone. And there was a time there where I was having a bit of success attacking him on the pads. He worked it out. He started to sweep me, and then I tried to go wider, and that put it in his hitting arc. And every now and then I'd get him out with a wrong'un, but most of the time he'd be able to clear the picket. So you really had to be on a good line and length. So I'd be trying to get on a good line and length if it was turning. If it wasn't turning, I'd just be trying to bowl a Yorker at his toes and get him off strike. Yeah.
Deep, talking of signals, how he spoke about what signals the batsman gives. We keep talking about batsman not picking a leg spinner and his variations. As a keeper, it's equally important for you behind the stumps and how early you can pick a wrist spinner out of his hand or whatever.
Yeah.
What are the signals that you picked up and how important is it for you to pick him from the hand?
So the first thing that you do is when you play against someone that has variations like Hoggy would, so you, before the game, you would take him to the net session and say, bowl a few to me, bowl a couple of variations or whatever you've got, and then try and pick it. So now, if it's easy or whatever, if you're picking it, it's fine. If you're not, then comes the second part of it, when you start saying, okay, listen, I'm not picking your googly or something, start telling me about it before you bowl one. Signal something, like a tap on your head or something like that, so I know that you're bowling what you're bowling. But first things first, I think you've got to practice single wicket because without the batsman, and try and let the bowler bowl all the variations that he's got, so you pick those variations. Generally, you would pick those variations. As a keeper, you're tuned or you're kind of taught to pick those variations. Simple things like I was talking to Saha the other day, as in how you're picking Rashid's googly. He's what he said was his angle of his hand. He's like, if the googly that he bowls is like straight arm, the arm's very straight, with the leg spinners is a little like around 15 degrees from perpendicular kind of a thing.
I'm glad you said 15 degrees.
No, he did not say 15 degrees. So he explained that to me in our mother tongue, which is Bengali, so I'm just kind of paraphrasing it. So it's like a little sidearm his leg spinners are. And those are those subtle changes that you tend to pick. For example, with Anil, first thing I did was asked him, in a net session to bowl those googlies and stuff like that. And then I figured out that his little finger would go up for the googly, and he would hold the ball a little differently, grip it a little differently for his googlies and all. Those are subtle changes that a bowler makes, and as a keeper, it's imperative that you pick those up.
As a keeper, yeah. you pick the ball a lot easier from the spinner.
Mm.
How different is it from keeping to batting?
So that's the reason I say when I see a wicket keeper not picking a spinner, I'm a little surprised, because as a keeper, you're supposed to pick those things. You're trained to pick those things. And you would actually see it. Keepers pick the difficult bowlers a little more easy, be it Rashid Khan or Mujib or the others. Keepers have that advantage, a little more advantage than a regular batsman.
We've spoken quite a bit about subcontinental conditions. You've played your T20 cricket in almost 8 or 9 countries through the course of your career. Is it the same outside the subcontinent? Is it different in terms of how much purchase spinners get and how easy it is for keepers to pick, or how much more difficult it is?
Look, wherever you change, you've got to adapt. Sometimes you've got to be a little quicker here in India, where in Australia you can slow it down a little bit. But with T20 cricket, when they're after you, generally you're trying to bowl it quicker anyway and not allow the batsman to get out of the crease. You don't mind them sweeping off good length. Especially in Australia, with that extra bounce, it's a difficult shot to control. Whereas here, you probably just want to be a little bit shorter than in Australia, because you don't have that extra bounce, and it doesn't allow the batsman to play freely. So if you look at the meterage here, I think it's between 5 and 6 metres length. In Australia, you're probably looking at 5 to 4 metres to land the ball. So that's the important. It's more the length that you've got to adjust than the line, and you just got to adapt to the different types of turn that you're getting off the wicket. Yeah. If you're not getting any turn, you've got to adapt and just try and cramp the batsman up and just limit the damage by just letting the batsman get ones off you and keep that economy rate down, so that the quick bowlers, hopefully, with that extra pace, can do the damage at the end. Yeah. But when it's turning and there's not much in it for the pace, you want the pace bowlers to start bowling Yorkers, death-type bowling early on, to keep the pressure on, so that when you're bowling, the batsman has to come after you when you're landing it on a good length and it's turning and it's a difficult shot to play. So there's a lot of teamwork there, and you've just got to stop your ego in a sense when it's not turning and just say, right, it's not my day today, I've just got to limit the damage. It's simple as that. And when you're on and it's turning, you don't want to get too ahead of yourself either, because sometimes you bowl a lot of rubbish when the conditions are suited to you, because you think you've got to do the job.
I'll come back to you on wickets versus runs, because the leg spinner traditionally has become a person or a bowler whose role is now to pick up wickets and stop the flow of runs and break partnerships. But Gaurav, Hoggy didn't let me finish my statement on spinners. What's the big deal with wrist spinners in T20s? It's more of a recent phenomenon. In the last 7-8 years, you've seen drafts and auctions, wrist spinners going for big money. What's the biggest change you've seen in T20 cricket, and why are wrist spinners so sought after?
I think one of the biggest reasons is the ability to pick wickets. We saw the first few years, we saw a lot of finger spinners doing very well. Warne did exceedingly well in the first 3 years. Kumble did well, but we didn't have too many guys, local domestic players actually coming through. But then I think from maybe 2013, we saw that complete shift where we saw the spinners starting to do very well. We saw the likes of Hawk, Kuldeep, which is again a variety in T20. And off spinners are not picking wickets. Your number one bowlers, Ashwin and Jadeja, for example, they did struggle in parts, but they used to control the innings. So how I personally look at finger spinners now in the IPL is, or any T20 league, are control bowlers, and the spinners are more attacking options where they look to take wickets. So maybe when a wrist spinner and a finger spinner bowl together, it becomes that powerful combination. I'm not for only having spinners in the squad. I think you need that variety. And even this year, if you actually look at the numbers, it's come down very kind of even from the last season. Last season, it was biased towards this spin. Now, if you see the economy rate, it's 7.9 each, which is great. But obviously, in terms of strike rates, spinners are slightly ahead. But not the margins, not too much. And yes, you have Mujib and Rashid and Naren. And Mujib and Naren, to be honest, I think none of us know what classification they come under. Is it off-spinner, leg-spinner? Yeah. So as
mystery
of now, mystery spinners.
That was my question. Now, how do you rate
Mujib? That's the new, we need a new classification called mystery spinners. But yeah, it's a fascinating, and I slowly see that finger spinners also coming back into the game.
Both of you have been around the country now watching these games, watching IPL games. Have you seen teams starting to play out the wrist spinners considering how well they've done?
I'll couple of things have happened. One is, obviously, as Gaurav mentioned, there was a couple of years ago, there was like, get leg spinners, just get leg spinners. Now I think there's a filtration process. Now you're kind of filtering the better leg spinners through. So you won't see as many leg spinners as you saw last year or a couple of years ago. So that is one process. Secondly, I would disagree with Gaurav on this certain point about finger spinners and wrist spinners, because I think someone like Mujeeb, he bowls leg spin. He bowls leg spin and googly. I know if you go to his profile and everything else, it says off spinner, but he never bowls off spin. He started off as an off spinner. He grips the ball like an off spinner, but he's predominantly a carom ball bowler and the googly bowler with that same grip. The other part would be, say, someone like Ashwin, who started to bowl a lot of leg spin as well, as in proper orthodox leg spin. So I think it's very difficult now to pinpoint and say, oh, he is a leg spinner, he is an off spinner. That's one thing. Secondly, I think there are quite a few left-handers now as well. Left-hand batsmen I'm talking about. So what happens is, earlier on there would be predominantly right-hand batsmen and with a leg spinner taking the ball away from you, what was away from the hitting zone, as Hoggy mentioned a while ago. With left-hander batsmen coming in, every team you see, there'll be at least a couple of left-handers in the batting order. And they kind of planning it out in terms of, okay, if Suresh Raina is there, he tries to play out the leg spinner or something like that. So the planning has improved as well.
Okay, even within wrist spinners, you were a special breed. I can literally count the number of left-arm wrist spinners who've come to international cricket or played at the highest level. What was that X factor that you saw that you had coming in with the left-armer's angle with the wrist spin? I mean, did you have an X factor compared to even the right-hand spinners and even the mistake
spinners? I never really ever thought about it, really. I just had a job to do, and that job was to, you know, either take wickets or keep the run rate down. And with the teams that I've been involved in, I've been very lucky to have some quality quick bowlers out the other end, whether it's for Australia, West Australia, or even the Perth Scorchers as such. I think with the Perth Scorchers, we've had so much success because we've got a very strong bowling unit. And if you look at Sunrisers Hyderabad, they've got a very strong bowling unit. And if you look at the averages now, you look at Sunrisers Hyderabad, they've got four pace bowlers in the top 50 wicket takers of IPL, all of an economy rate under 8. And then you've got Rashid Khan and Shakib, economy rates under 8. And so for me, taking wickets is about applying pressure. You've got to bowl defensive bowling. You've got to keep the pressure on the batsman. At the end of the day, the batsman's the one that makes the mistake. If you keep applying the pressure, they've got to take a risk. I think we get overawed by this attacking type of bowling. If you don't get the ball in the right area and you're bowling you've bowled a perfect swing ball, which is a half volley, it's going to go for four in that power play. Most of the time. So you've got to get the ball in the right areas. You've got to be defensive. It's a defensive game. And as with Sunrisers Hyderabad, they've come out of sticky situations when they haven't got enough runs because they're able to play decent defensive bowling as a unit.
But if you just look at mindsets traditionally, you say that wickets are more important, the power play, containing the run flow at the death. Did you have different approaches to bowling in different phases? Because you mentioned that landing the ball in the right area with a defensive mindset is important. Did it vary across phases in the game?
No, it didn't really for me. The only time I ever thought about going for a wicket was when the game was getting out of control and we needed to break the partnership. And that was a discussion with the captain. I remember Shane Warne talking about Test cricket. When I've got an attacking field, I'm bowling boring balls. I'm just bowling defensively all the time. When I've got the field spread, that's when I bowl a lot more variations. Now, in T20 cricket for me, I've got a lot of variations, but my key ball is the wrong one to the right-hander. To the left-hander, I've got to get the wrong one out early, but it's normally the flipper or the backspinner. But I've got to make sure I've set them up for it, I've bowled tight, and if I'm under pressure and those balls aren't landing, what ball do I go to that gets me out of the four overs with the limited damage? And I think that's one thing that I learned very early on my international career. A baseballer, a fielding coach, Mike Young, was sitting on the team bus. And I said, oh, my wrong one wasn't coming out well today. My backspinner, my flipper, they all weren't coming out well today. And he said to me, the best pitchers in the NBA or the National Basketball
League,
American Baseball League, they go to the ball that they feel most comfortable with and just pitch that ball all night and just limit the damage and get out of it. And, you know, it's same with T20 cricket. If you're not feeling confident, just go to that ball, which limits the damage. And so it's all mindset.
Gaurav, just coming back, we'll discuss captaincy and how captains handle spinners today. There's a lot of shift in where spinners have been used. Now, today, I think this season, there have been more spinners bowling in the power play than in the first two put together. That's the amount of spin that's being used. What's the mindset shift that has happened here, and why are captains using more and more spinners in the power play?
I think it's more to do with the opposition. I think there's so much of matchups and so much of planning which goes to before the game. And if you look, I was just looking at some numbers earlier today about the overseas batsmen playing against spin. Their strike rate's about 120, whereas against pace, it's about 150. So clearly, even if you don't get wickets, you know they're not going to go helter-skelter with you. So I think most of the planning is around who the opposition is, who the batsman is, whether he has a history of playing spin well. And you do have some overseas, like Kane Williamson. I don't think he's still got out to spin this season. So you know that he's a good player of spin. So ideally, then you wouldn't want to bowl a spinner or your best bowlers. And also, which phase of the game, again, depends on the situation you're in, again, opposition, whether you're batting first or batting second. We've seen Ashwin try a couple of times in the death, and both times he was hit once by Rohit Sharma, once by AB de Villiers. So maybe under pressure, young guy, he doesn't. But maybe some other day while batting first or while bowling first for that matter, Mujib might get three wickets. I think he did against Rajasthan. He got three wickets in over. So it's more situation dependent rather than you go with a fixed plan. But yeah, the good thing is, I'm sure that Hoggy will also agree with me, that spinners are willing to bowl the tough overs now. And especially in the death, I think it's an option which teams have underused. Only Rashids and Narains have been bowling, but it's always worth a shot getting these spinners to bowl some difficult overs as well.
We didn't see any of this happen back in the day when you were playing, the mid-2000s. T20 was still in its infancy, and we were still getting used to it. There was absolutely no data, if I'm not wrong, during that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the shift that you've seen during your career as well? You've been inside a team's dugout, you've been a broadcaster since. What's changed?
I think the mindset. To a great extent, initially T20, especially from the bowling perspective, was containing. Right? So you would contain. But now it's not about contain, it's about picking wickets. Yes, as Hoggy mentioned, as a bowler, you cannot just, turn up and say, I'm going to pick a wicket this ball. Right? So you have to go through the whole process of keeping it tight and all. But the mindset is still to pick wickets now, as compared to when it started, when I played a few T20 games. It was more of containing. That was one. Secondly, I think there are too many shots now in the repertoire as well of a batsman. Not all of them are always successful. So batsmen are ready to take more chances against a spinner. So I think spinner... And if you look at last few years of international cricket and across all formats, every time there is deviation, whether it's in the air or off the pitch, batsmen have struggled, irrespective of which country you're from. If it's seaming or if it's turning, batsmen have struggled. So that gives that edge to the spinners a little more than the fast bowlers, because fast bowlers, when the ball gets old, and in T20 it doesn't get old enough for the ball to reverse more often than not. So it's more pace and bounce that you're relying on. But with the spinner, they still have that option of deviation off the pitch, which I think makes spinning options a lot more viable now than fast bowling more often than not.
And I think if you look at the spinners in the power play too, Kolkata Knight Riders, they have to go for spin because they had the injury of Mitchell Starc, and they don't have those real attacking fast bowlers in that power play.
Mitchell Johnson hasn't been great either.
It's different conditions than in Australia. He's not getting the same zip off the wicket, so he has to bowl differently. They have to bowl a different plan, and they've got Narayan there, but they want to leave him in the middle overs because of his attacking ability there when the ball turns a little bit more. So they don't have that off-spinner. But Rajasthan Royals, Gotham over the last couple of games has done exceptionally well. He's keeping it tight. I thought Axar Patel the other night, he was just a little too offside-ish, and that allowed Butler to hit him over cover. Now, for me, if you're a left-armer, you're trying to hit the leg stump, trying to cramp the batsman off up, the right-hander, and let him work you on the leg side. You have a short mid-wicket. And if you're looking to tempt him to go over cover, you go wider and make him reach for the ball. And if you go wider with the new ball, it's got more of a chance to turn, because generally the new ball skids on. especially when you're coming around the wicket. So you've got to give yourself a chance and straighten up the angle as much.
Yeah,
so
the angle.
I've described that right, because if you're coming around the wicket attacking the stumps, you the ball's got to do a lot more to turn. But if you go straight,
what he's saying is with that body position, that body angle, if you're trying to pitch it on the stump, you're actually pushing the ball through with the angle rather than giving it a tweak. Yeah. So when that angle changes to outside off stump, so it's more straightforward and your body is not going across as much. So you're getting more purchase if you're bowling outside the off stump.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly right. And the ball turns a little bit more wider. The batsman's going to swing. You don't have those deep cover fielders, but the chance of the batsman controlling the stroke is less. So then you're giving yourself the option of getting that breakthrough. And that's the only time you take that risk is when you've kept it tight and the bowler at the other end has kept it tight and you know that he's going to come after you. But I'd still try and keep it tight anyway.
So essentially what you're saying is the wicket-taking ball only comes after a series of pressure-building from both ends, which is sort of...
Exactly, which is our traditional
wisdom that we have. Now,
if you look at Tar here, for example, he's got an economy rate of 9 throughout this tournament. But he's going for wickets all the time, but his control isn't the control that we expect of an international cricketer. And his performances aren't at his standard, what we've seen of him. The reason being is that he's after wickets, because the rest of the bowling attack in that Chennai and Super Kings team, the pace attack, aren't really getting the breakthroughs. They aren't keeping it tight. So they're very lucky with their batting lineup, which has kept him in this tournament. Yeah. So he's going after wickets. He's bowling full tosses, half volleys, short trackers. Every now and then he gets it in the right area. And when he gets wickets, he's bowled 6 balls in that right area and the batsman has to go after him. When he hasn't got wickets, he's just been too short, too full.
We saw this with Rashid as well. I mean, Rashid was taken for runs a couple of times and the other guys had to make up during those days. Even within wrist spinners and specific categories of spinners, do you see a different style of approach between two sets of spinners, as Hoggy spoke about? There's a Tahir, there's a Rashid. Depending on how the other guys go, the approach changes completely.
Yes, I was reading a Rashid interview where he talks about the speed. And he says that the fact that he bowls so quickly is his strength. And whereas you have some leg spinners who maybe their strength is the drift, or their strength is to flight the ball and then get the wicket. So I think each bowler has their own strength. And like in the same interview, he was also talking about the fact that his length was too full. So he's now realized that if he's so quick, he has to bowl a good length or slightly shorter of good length, not even short. So margin of error is so less. The other question which I wanted to pose, Hoggy, on the same thing is, how does this kind of skill translate into the longer form? Because you have Rashid and Naren who haven't done really well in the longer form of the game. So with Afghanistan getting test status and they're going to be playing a lot of games, do you think this approach would work in the longer form, or would it be difficult for him?
Look, if he's going in the longer form, he can't bowl the wrong one as much as he can, because players are sitting on him and he's not getting attacked as much. So he's got to bowl that boring type of cricket, a bit like Shane Warne. He doesn't have the big turning leg break, okay? Right, that's a weakness of his in the longer form. But how can we turn it into a strength? By just consistent line and length, having the right fields. So you've got to know your bowler. And continuing on with your point there, captains have got to understand what type of bowler they've got. Just because he's a leg spinner doesn't mean he's a Shane Warne, or doesn't mean he's a Rashid Khan. We look at Khan Sharma from Chennai Super Kings. He's a slower type of bowler. He can't bowl that 5 or 6 metre length in India. He's got to be a little fuller, because if you've seen in this tournament, players are playing on the back foot, cutting him easily, pulling him easily, that he's not getting the batsman to come forward. Yep. So then there's other bowlers that don't turn it as much. Gotham doesn't turn it as much, especially in the power play. Yep. So, right, what fields do we have? Where's his strength? Yep. Okay, every now and then it does turn a bit, and that's going to bamboozle. So the captain has got to know the strength of the bowler.
And talking of captains, just circle back to your debut all the way back in 2004. You came on to bowl after Ian Bell and Jonathan Trott. You were the 6th bowler for Warwickshire, and you came on to bowl in the second half of the innings. The question I'm going to ask you is, over these 13, 14 years you've played T20 cricket, what captains told you would have completely changed from the beginning of T20 cricket? What's the biggest change in captains and how they used a wrist spinner like you, who had only 4 overs, limited resources? What's the biggest change?
Biggest change for me is, well, there's no change really. It's about having the captain understand what you're about, having the captain understand your personality, and having the captain understand your skills. And actually, I was explaining to someone the other day, or having a chat with one of the captains, Nasser Hussain, and we're talking about the DRS. So my personality, I'm excitable, I'm always up, and if I wrap it in the pads, yeah, it's definitely out. And I just said to him, so me bowling in your team, and I said, oh, yeah, that's out, what would you do? And he said, generally, with your personality, I'd say, no, we're not going to DRS, all right? And but then he'd have other bowlers which he would agree with. Yeah. But he, on my sense, he'd go to the keeper rather than me because of my personalities. So a captain's got to understand you as a person, know your skills, know what makes you tick. Because if you don't know all those three things, you're not getting the best out of your players.
The most specific question I wanted to ask you is, now that the format has evolved and you have a lot more data and precedents to go back to, where are captains now more aggressive in using their spinners? I'll come to you as well, Deep.
Look, I don't think the captains that I've been involved with have been aggressive. Because at the end of the day, my plan was, all right, I knew which batsman I was on top of. I knew which batsmen were sort of played me a little better. So I understand that, all right, I've got to be a little bit more defensive. I can be a little bit more attacking, depending which batsmen are out there. So I've got to understand that game. But the moment I get ahead of myself is the moment that I allow the batsmen to come in, because I go over-aggressive, and as soon as you go over-aggressive, you bowl too many variations, you start to lose that line of length, and you start to lose the control, and you start to lose the pressure that you're applying on that batsman.
Aggressive in the sense, I'd say they prefer more quality spinners. If you see in this IPL itself, you have at least two teams which plays with three spinners, right? Kings 11 and KKR. Mm. So obviously they would prefer spinners, and the reason that I look into is the fact that I mentioned a while ago. I mean, variation of the pitch, it's difficult for the batsman to kind of read. I mean, if you look at Mujeeb, for example, he's a very good bowler, but I still find it difficult to figure out why batsman can't read his googly from his leg spin. Mm-hmm. Because his normal leg spin, which is a carom ball, comes from the front of his hand, the googly obviously back of his hand. And it's a little difficult to kind of figure out why they aren't picking him. Yes, I mean, you pick him, you still make mistake, that happens. But not picking him, it's difficult to understand, like, top domestic and international batsmen. So I think that's one of the reasons I believe your spinners are preferred more, especially in the middle overs, because they have that ability to kind of turn the ball off the pitch.
Who was the guy, talking of picking a leg spinner, who was the guy you found hardest to pick?
I thought Rashid Khan was the toughest to pick for me. And that's the reason I called Zahab and like, listen, I can't pick this guy up. You tell me how you picking him. And because I don't see too much of a difference in his action. I mean, it's a very marginal, subtle difference. And when I look at his action, I mean, it seems even his leg spinners are coming from the back of his hand. Yeah. You know, so every time he bowls, it seems like, oh, it's a googly. But it's not. It's a leg spinner as well. So I think Rashid, yes, is very difficult to pick. And there is no change in the pace. If you look at a lot of spinners, and Hoggy will agree with me, your googlies are quicker than your leg spin. Yeah. Right? Your pace of your googlies, because it's back of the hand, your arm speed is a little quicker. So your googlies are a lot quicker than your leg spin. So by the pace of it as well, you can figure out. But when I look at Rashid, there's not too much of a difference in terms of the pace of the ball as well with googly and his leg spin.
And is there any spinner in your days whom maybe he may not have played for India or in the domestic circuit? Did you find someone who was extremely difficult to pick?
Anil was, because he wasn't a big turner, right? So it was a very high arm,
faster
variations. Yeah. And especially if you're playing on a turner, it was a nightmare. Because obviously, I mean, the variations were very minuscule in terms of the turn, variation of the pitch, and also the pace with which he bowled. I mean, he wouldn't allow you to step out, right? So you're like stuck on the crease. So the only option you have, even back foot, you think twice before pulling and cutting him because of the pace of the pitch as well. which someone like Hoggy has here. He's not retired as yet, so he still has
it. Yeah.
So, you know, it's Rashid Khan. So they don't give you that time. So in terms as a batsman also, one of your options are taken away because you think really hard before you step out, or predominantly be a premeditated step out kind of a thing.
Hoggy, from among the current crop, who are the wrist spinners you rate extremely highly from the guys who are playing right now?
Oh, look, Rashid Khan's got to be up there in the shorter form of the game, but it's very hard, really. There's a lot of quality spinners out there. Tahir's done well, but for me, you've got to be able to be...
Kuldeep, no?
Kuldeep's up there as well, but you've got to be adaptable for all forms of the game. Has anyone been adaptable yet? The Pakistan leg spinner?
Shadab Khan.
Yeah, Shadab Khan. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to figure out which Khan it was. but he's probably been the pick of them because he's adapted to all forms of the game. So that tells me a quality spinner to an average spinner. Or if you're good at T20 cricket, you're not an average spinner or 50 over, but he's an exceptional talent. Mm-hmm. And when I look at batsmen as well, I look at the same aspect. You look at your Kohlis and De Villiers. They dominate all forms of the game, so they are a cut above the rest. So, Khan from Pakistan.
Last bit is basically measuring the performance. We often read scorecards, we see spinners going for runs sometimes. Have there been days in your career when you felt and your team management has felt that you've bowled really well, but on the scorecard it doesn't reflect as much?
I'll tell you that my best figures, I don't know what they are, I don't know what the figures were.
Was on your debut?
No, was it? Yeah.
4 for 9.
4 for 9? Who was that for? Warwickshire,
yeah.
No, I think I did the same against Adelaide as well when I was playing for WA. But that particular game, I went skiing 3 days before, and I was skiing all day because I hadn't done it for about 5 years. And my shoulders were that stiff. I was out the whacker. We had nets out the top. I could not land the ball on the pitch. I was hitting the top net and hitting the... So the day before the game, I'm hitting the top net and the bottom net, and we're warming up for this T20 game, and Bruce Reid is catching the ball. I'm hitting him on the full, and I'm going, Bruce, I am in trouble. I have not landed one in the last 3 days, and I got 4 for 9 there too.
You should go skiing every game, man.
But I bowled. I think all I bowled was Yorkers. So I don't know how they landed, but yeah. But you have days where you bowl a whole pile of hogwash. Mind the punt, so you end up with 5 for 35, and then you bowl your best, and you just don't get a wicket. And but that's the thing about a team game. If you're applying pressure at the other end, or the teammates are applying pressure at the other end, it makes your job easier down here. So you've got to understand the moment of the match. And when we talk about aggression, just my final point, when you talk about aggression and taking wickets, it's not about bowling the ball to take the wickets all the time. It's about setting the batsman up with pressure type bowling. If you look at Shane Warne, he'll say that he's going to do what he's going to do and something's going to happen, he's going to get the edge. It doesn't happen by chance. It happens because he's created the pressure, and that particular ball that he's bowled, the batsman, if he's going to score, it's going to be a one. It's very highly unlikely that it's going to be a boundary. So he's bowled a ball that the percentages are in his favour. That's aggression. Bowling the ball with the percentages in your favour.
Last, I'll just end on a nostalgic note and I'll ask both of you. We've all been watching cricket and you've been playing cricket for more than 2 decades now. Did you expect when T20 began that we'd be sitting here one day and talking about spinners being royalty and, you know, spinners just changing the game in the shortest format where the batsmen seem to have all the advantages? Did you expect any of this?
Honestly, not really. I'll be very, very honest. I didn't really think, but I never thought they'll be out of the system, so to say, because there was a lot of talk in the initial couple of years that, oh, it's the end of spinners and all that. Never thought, because, listen, it's an evolving game. Cricket itself is an evolving game. Forget the format. We've seen people changing and all. You know, cricket's changing. Cricket is changing over different eras. So never thought they'll be out of the scene, but never thought they'll have that kind of an effect, to be honest.
Gaurav?
I think I agree with Deep to a certain extent, because I've obviously been following it only on television and seeing the IPL evolve.
Radio. if you go back a long way, it's a radio as well.
You two have got no vision. Absolutely no vision.
In the sense, like, I used to idolize Shane Warne, and he was one of the, and he started off doing so well in the IPL, and obviously we thought that a great test match, Kumble did well. So initial days you thought there were all these test specialists doing extremely well here. But now it's completely changed. You have players who are just training only for T20s who come in and just try to do well. And you have 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds who are no, like, great players are not able to pick them. So, yeah, the kind of variation they bring is something I didn't
know. A couple of more spinners coming out of Afghanistan. Watch out for them.
The kind of game changers they've become, like people are, like you said earlier, people are just playing them out. You know, that was not something which you would see before. But yeah, good, well done.
Hoggy, I'm not going to come to you because you proof that spinners work perfectly well in the shortest format.
Without any age bar. Yeah, that's the best part about
fit
you.
Fit man's game.
Well, you go back to England when I first started playing T20. I think it was Adam Hollyoake who bowled those medium paces just
cutters and all that.
And myself were the leading wicket takers right up till the final series. And I only got told of it because we're going in to play the semi-final and someone's gone, oh, you're the leading wicket taker of Warwickshire, you're right. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. But that sort of led me to think, right, hang on, we've got a big chance of surviving in this format. And it's like anything. It's like one-day cricket where, you know, you thought spinners might struggle there, but they never ever go to struggle because they've got a decent skill.
So, I mean, obviously, great skill. But the other...
Well, we keep you employed. Otherwise, we'll get a part-time keeper in, won't we?
Yeah. 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 Keep you employed.
Absolutely. he's spot on with that. I mean, because of variations and bowlers like him, you need a proper keeper. But quickly on that point, you also have to figure out that when it all started, you didn't have so many spinners as well. If you see the leg spinners, especially the wrist spinners, they've come in the last 3-4 years. And I credit this a lot to, you know, icons like Warnie, Anil and all these guys. Because that generation, people who grew up watching these guys are coming through now. So you see so many leg spinners because of that as well. If you think about 2007-08, you didn't have too many spinners, right? So now this generation, obviously with the success of this generation as well, you'll see more guys coming into it. But I thought, especially the leg spinners, credit to Mushtaq, Anil, Warnie, who made leg spin like as big as it is right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very few things in cricket as delightful as seeing a leg spinner deceive a batsman and get him. And that's the end of episode 4 of Talking T20. Absolute pleasure to have Brad Hogg and Deep Das Gupta on the show. Thanks, gentlemen.
Yeah, only episode 4.
Episode 4, yeah.
Oh, we're special.
And it's the first time we have two cricketers in the show. We had Deep and we had Sanjay earlier, and this time we have Hoggy and Deep on the show. Thanks, Gaurav. Thanks as ever for joining us. And you can now catch us on SoundCloud and hopefully very soon on iTunes and any other podcasting platform where you listen to your podcast. Thanks, and join us next time.
You are listening to ESPN Crick Info.